Hello everyone, welcome back to this Pharmacology Difficult podcast, and today we are going to start with the dose response curve. We have done up to receptors, the highlighted points, and today we are going to start with the dose response curve. Basically, you need to understand the idea behind the whole dose response curve. It is actually a graph, and it is plotted between the dose of a drug administered, and that is taken on the x-axis. And the effect produced by the drug is taken on the y-axis. There are two components, dose and plasma concentration curve, and the other component is the plasma concentration and the response curve. Now, as the plasma concentration is very, very in great proximity to the response, that is, when you change the plasma concentration, the response will change quickly. So the graph between the plasma concentration and the response is referred to as the dose response curve. Now, they can be of two types. DRC, capital DRC, is the short form for dose response curve. They can be of two types, quantile and graded. What do you mean by quantile DRC? There is a variation in the sensitivity of the response as we increase the dose, and that is shown differently in different individuals. And this variation in different individuals can be obtained from the quantile DRC. Sometimes there is shown all or none phenomena. That is, when you give an antiemetic drug. Antiemetic drug is given. So we see whether the vomiting or the emesis, it has stopped or not. And on the response axis, that is the y-axis, what do we see? It actually gives the number of the people who are responding to the drug dose and the plasma concentration of the drug, which is given by the x-axis. So you get the correlation of the x and the y-axis. And we can calculate two very good parameters, ED50. And LD50, capital ED50, capital LD50, what are these? Capital ED50 is the median effective dose. And what is the definition of capital ED50? The dose that will produce the desired response in only 50% of the patients or the people taking the drug, the recipients of that particular dose or drug. So this value of the capital ED50 is inversely proportional to the potency. More is the ED50, lesser is the potency. And less is the ED50, more will be the potency of the drug. Then there is a parameter, capital LD50, that is the median lethal dose. What is that? It is the amount of the dose that will actually cause death of the 50% of the recipients or the animals receiving the drug. More is the value of the LD50, we can say the safer is the drug. It is directly proportional to the drug safety. More LD50, more safety of the drug. Then there is another parameter, therapeutic index. What is therapeutic index? Therapeutic index is directly, it shows the safety of the drug. And how do you calculate therapeutic index? The value of the therapeutic index is equal to capital LD50 upon or divided by capital ED50. Write down this formula, LD50 upon ED50 is equal to therapeutic index. So the drugs which have high therapeutic index are known as safe drugs, and which have low therapeutic index, they are unsafe or dangerous drugs, or we can say narrow margin drugs. Now that is all about the quantile DRC. Let's talk about the graded DRC. In this, the response is graded. You can correlate with the blood pressure response. It is graded. And this response is shown on the y-axis. That is all you need to know about graded DRC. Let's talk about the highlighted points of the DRC now. What is the shape of the DRC? It is hyperbola generally. So we convert it into log dose of DRC. because we can get better calculations if we convert it into log dose of DRC. So the log dose is actually, what is the shape of the log dose curve? That is sigmoid. The normal is the hyperbola, and when we convert it into log dose response curve, it takes a shape as a sigmoid S-shaped. And as you can see, there is a middle portion in the S. That middle portion, which is actually a straight line in the sigmoid curve, it has the basic advantage, and we can actually calculate nice variations in the dose in that particular middle portion or the straight line. And larger variations can be plotted in the same curve. So that is the advantage of the sigmoid log dose response curve, which cannot be done in the hyperbola curve. So that's why we convert it into sigmoid DRC. Then we get very important parameters, the potency, efficacy, and the slope of the curve. Let's talk about these parameters. Talking about the potency, what do you mean by potency of the drug? The measure of the drug or the amount of the drug which is needed to produce the response. That is the potency. And if the drug is producing same response, say two drugs are producing same response, and the lower dose of the drug that produces the same response of the other drug comparable at a higher dose, then we say the lower dose drug is more potent than the one showing the same response at the higher dose. Now what happens, what are the changes in the dose response curve? On the dose response curve, more the drug is on the left side, then higher is its potency. And the more the drug will be on right side, the potency will be lowered. Then efficacy. The maximum effect produced by a drug is the efficacy of the drug. The more the peak of the drug in the DRC, the more it will be its efficacy. And the flatter will be the peak, the low efficacy drug will be that one. Then we come to what parameter is more important clinically. Definitely, efficacy is more important than potency. We have to be more worried about efficacy of the drug and not the potency of the drug. Talking about the slope of the drug in the DRC. If the slope is steeper, that means a very slight change in the drug dose will give very large amount of variations in the response. So it is not very easy to change the drug dose if the slope is steeper. On the other hand, such kind of drugs which have steep slope, they have narrow therapeutic index. And those drugs which have flat dose response curve, we can easily change their dose and they won't show much variations in the response also. So they are safer drugs. They have large therapeutic index. What are the examples of narrow therapeutic index or the steeper slope drugs? Barbiturates. And the flatter dose response curves are benzodiazepines. They are safer. Now, there are certain points you need to remember, highlighted points. If there is a competitive inhibitor, then the curve will shift on the DRC to the right. That is, the potency will be decreased. And in the presence of an antagonist, but the efficacy will not be changed. If there is a non-competitive inhibitor, then there will be flattening of the DRC, that is efficacy will decrease and potency will not change. But if there is irreversible competitive antagonist, then both the efficacy and potency will be decreased. So these things or these points you need to remember. Now let's talk about another very important topic, which is totally different from DRC, that is pharmacogenetic conditions. Now, many individuals have different genetic makeup, and due to this differentiation and variations in the genetic makeup, the drugs, when you give to different individuals, their sensitivity is different and they show different response to the same dose and the same drug. So sometimes the same dose in one individual can be safe and in other individual it can cause toxicity. And sometimes there can be therapeutic failure in some of the individuals while it is totally normally acting in other individuals. What are the causes behind this? What are the different conditions which are responsible in pharmacogenetic conditions? What are these? So let's talk about a few important ones. The first one is the glucose 6 phosphate dehydrogenase, that is capital G6PD deficiency. What happens when the individual is having deficiency of G6PD, then if you give oxidant drugs to such individuals, they will respond it in the form of hemolysis. There will be hemolysis in such individuals. And what are these drugs? Primaquine, chloroquine, isoniazid, nalidixic acid, quinine, sulfonamides, dapsone, nitrofurantoin, minadione, etc. Next important pharmacogenetic condition or state is acetylator polymorphism. Now, some individuals are slow acetylators and other individuals are fast acetylators. What is the difference? Now, in the fast acetylators, when you give the drug, then there is fast metabolism and there will be therapeutic failure. And if the individual is a slow acetylator and you give the drug, then that will produce toxicity because the metabolism is very, very slow. What are the drugs which are affected by the acetylation? Sulfonamides, isoniazid, procainamide and hydralazine. Then another pharmacogenetic conditions are resistance to the Coumarin anticoagulants, malignant hyperthermia which is caused by giving halothane, then inability of an individual to hydroxylate phenytoin, and last but not the least, atypical pseudocholinesterase and succinylcholine. What is this condition? Now, in some individuals, this succinylcholine is actually metabolized by pseudocholinesterase. In some individuals, this pseudocholinesterase is not functioning well. It is not properly found and it is in the form of atypical form, that is abnormal. Then, if you give succinylcholine in such individuals who are having abnormal or atypical pseudocholinesterase, then that will result in prolonged apnea and that may be a fatal condition in the such individuals. So that's all about the dose response curve and the pharmacogenetic conditions in an individual. In the next episode, I will be talking about the new drug development and the various phases of the clinical trials.